Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Danville Commercial News of Friday, February 16, 2018. We are going to start with a front page story titled, As Danville Mourns Bar Owner, 19-year-old Friend is Charged. It is Dateline Danville. As those closest to Jay Hine tried to process the news that a friend was charged with his murder, plans were underway to honor the Danville business owner the best way they knew how. An annual event at two bars he owned is still a go for Saturday. In wake of the tragedy, we are still doing barstool golf. This is what we feel J.C. Hine would have wanted, and this is what the family wants. Have a drink in Jay's honor. We love you, J.J. May you rest in peace. Caitlin Stefaniak, one of Mr. Hine's employees and friends, wrote Thursday on Facebook. Friends and family who gathered Thursday at Mr. Hine's, J.J.'s 610 Tap Bar, did not want to talk about what was happening across town at the Vermilion County Courthouse, where Christopher D. Condon, age 19, was formally charged with first-degree murder for allegedly stabbing Mr. Hine to death. Condon of Danville was also charged with aggravated arson, a Class X felony, and concealing a homicidal death, a Class II felony. Condon appeared at his arraignment via video camera from jail and showed no emotion when Vermilion County Associate Judge Mark Goodwin read him the charges and possible penalties, 20 to 60 years in prison for murder, 6 to 30 years in prison for aggravated arson, and 2 to 5 years for concealing the homicidal death. Goodwin appointed the public defender's office to represent Condon. The judge also set his preliminary hearing for 1:30 p.m. on March 6th. Mr. Hine's body was found Wednesday morning at his residence in the 3600 block of Bayview Drive in the North Danville subdivision of Bayview Estates, which borders Lake Vermilion. Danville firefighters were called to the two-story brick house at 9:20 a.m. after a neighbor reported seeing smoke coming from Mr. Hine's home. At Thursday's hearing, State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey asked Goodwin to set Condon's bond at $5 million, saying that after firefighters put out a small fire, they discovered Mr. Hine dead. Police found video surveillance from J.J.'s 610 Tap that Lacey said showed Condon and Mr. Hine leaving the tavern together about 4:30 a.m. on Wednesday. According to statements Condon made to police, they arrived at the residence where an argument ensued, Lacey said. The defendant stabbed the victim multiple times in the back and the chest and struck him with a hammer. The prosecutor went on to say Condon allegedly started the fire in the basement to cover up the killing. He also ransacked the home to make it look like a robbery had occurred. Lacey said Condon allegedly stole Mr. Hine's truck, which was found later on Walnut Street. Police found Condon covered in blood, Lacey said. Assistant Public Defender Aaliyah Horwick argued for a lower bond, noting her client had no prior convictions. Goodwin set the $5 million bond, meaning Condon will have to pay $500,000 cash to be released. The next story we're going to read is headlined, Bus Services Halt Reversed. It's datelined Tilton. Chantal Garland relies on the Danville Mass Transit's number 13 bus to Tilton to get to her job at Garden View Manor Nursing Home on Catlin-Tilton Road. The Danville woman said her only other option is taking a cab, but round-trip bus fare is $1 and cab fare is $16. She said, if I had to take a cab every day, that would eat up my paycheck. She makes minimum wage. Garland was afraid she might have to look for a job closer to home after the Tilton Village Board voted to end the service on April 30th. However, on Thursday, trustees voted 3-1, with two members absent, to reverse the decision after the DMT director said she would work with them to come up with new bus stop locations that would be more convenient to residents and hopefully boost ridership. In 2007, Danville and Tilton entered into an intergovernmental agreement for the service, allowing the DMT to add its route to the village that June. Director Lisa Byth said the village is billed every 6 months and the amount is based on the number of riders and fares paid. The most Tilton paid for a six-month period was $1,848 in 2014, and the least was $1,650 in 2017. Byth said, "We averaged it out to $11 or $12 a day. While it is not a lot of money we're receiving from them, every little bit helps, especially when our state funding is so tight." However, Tilton trustees in January voted to end the service at the end of April after some raised concerns about whether the village was paying for something that was not used. Trustee Virgil Sheets said on Thursday, "I live on the south side. I see it go down Meyer Street. I seldom see anyone on the bus." While the route has one of the lower riderships, Byth said it is growing. In 2017, it averaged 597 passengers a month. In January, it averaged 726. Prior to the meeting, Byth said the bus takes employees and volunteers to the nursing home, Southwest Elementary School, the Vermilion Association for Special Education, and Middle Fork School and Vermilion County Animal Shelter on Catlin Tilted Road, and to the CARA No-Kill Animal Shelter at 14th and King Streets on a daily basis. Riders also use it to get to their jobs at Monocle's Pizza, County Market, and the Driver's License Bureau in the Southgate area on Illinois 1. In addition, Byth said, a few take it to get to Lebanon Seaboard Corporation and KIK Custom Products, even though it means getting dropped off at Washington and Ross Lane and walking or riding a bike the rest of the way. Danville School District students, parents, and staff also rely on the service, said John Hart, Assistant Superintendent for Elementary Education, and Southwest Principal Lindsay Prunkard. Hart said ridership likely increased last year after the district turned Southview into an upper elementary school, housing all 5th and 6th graders, and moving all pre-kindergarten students to Southwest Elementary. Prior to the meeting, the administrator said the DMT has stepped up to add extra trips for parents and families when the schools hold special or evening events. They also said several Danville High School students in the Secondary Transition Experience Program, or STEP, rely on the route to get to their jobs at Anytime Fitness, Monocle's, Burger King, and at the kitchen at Southwest. The work-study program gives students with disabilities real-world job experience. Prunkard said they learn how to ride the bus to work, so when they are on their own, they know how to do it. Mayor David Phillips said trustees were willing to give the service more time, but would like to see bus stops moved to different locations that would be more convenient to residents. He suggested trustees ride the bus to identify those stops, to which Byth agreed. Phillips also said the village was working on a deal to move a governmental body to the Southgate area, which might necessitate a stop. The next story we're going to read is headlined, "Secure and at Home, New Senior Housing Opens in Tilton." It is Dateline Tilton. The first building is complete for new senior housing by R.S. Quick Properties. The four-unit senior independent living apartment complex is the first in a planned 15-building, 60-unit development off Ileana Drive and King Street. The complex is part of a first project phase for Ryan and Sana Quick. The projects also include a commercial building that houses a Revive hair salon and spa, and the video gaming cafe, Carla's. There remains plans for other commercial buildings with business interest, Ryan said. The first apartment complex is located on Trinity Lane, named after the Quick's daughter. The project took longer than expected, but the Quicks are very pleased with the result. The second building should start construction in a couple of months. The first building has two two-bedroom and two one-bedroom units. Some units also are fully accessible according to the Americans with Disabilities Act. One of each are full, Ryan said of the units. They did have a waiting list for the apartments, but due to timing issues, some are staying on the list for future buildings. Ryan said they have started advertising the apartments and they are getting more inquiries. The apartments are for people ages 55 and older. Ryan said the apartments can be ideal for retired or non-retired persons, those moving back to the area, such as one person who has moved back from Florida, and others looking for the convenience of having to pay one fee for rent and all utilities. Ryan said they take care of electric, water, sewer, gas, phone, internet, cable, trash, and all maintenance, including snow removal and lawn care. There is an option for tenants to pay utilities. The units also have a washer and dryer and a one-car garage. Ryan said they also provide delivery of meals from Carla's and Charlotte's. Ryan said they'll work on landscaping and putting down sod this spring around the complex. It's been about a $3.2 million investment so far for the Quicks, with the first commercial and residential buildings. They received about $350,000 in tax increment financing funding from the Village of Tilton for the commercial and residential properties and utility and road work. Ryan said Tilton officials have been wonderful to work with. Tilton Mayor David Phillips welcomes the additional senior housing and commercial development. He said that village officials receive phone calls inquiring about smaller spaces for business sites. He also said there is a lack of housing for seniors in the Tilton area. Ryan said he liked the location for the developments when they purchased the 7 acres there. There also are plans at the senior apartment complexes to have a pond, community center, outside fire pit and grill, and also to have it gated. He said residents can feel secure and at home in the units. Everything is right there, convenient for them, he said. Sana added, we want to make it homey for them, saying also that residents can get to know their neighbors. The apartments are not Section 8 government subsidized. There is definitely a niche for it, Ryan said, about the senior independent living complexes. For more information and to reach Ryan, visit RS Quick Properties on Facebook or call 217-597-2360. This next story is headline. We are now going to read some obituaries. The first one is for Jay Hine. Jay Hine, age 51, of Danville, died Wednesday, February 14, 2018. Funeral services will be 10 a.m. Monday at St. Paul's Catholic Church at 1303 North Walnut Street in Danville. Burial will be at Resurrection Catholic Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Sunday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, located at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Clarence Champion. Clarence Champion, age 92, passed away February 13, 2018, at Hawthorne Inn of Danville. A celebration of Clarence's life will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, February 17, at Batestown United Methodist Church, located at 2224 Batestown Road in Danville, with Pastor Patty Wise officiating. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. prior to the service, burial in Oakwood Cemetery. Memorials can be made in his name to the American Alzheimer's Association. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center is in charge of arrangements. Please join Clarence's family in sharing photos and memories on his tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Patricia Ellies. Patricia Ann Ellies, age 67, of Flora, passed away Thursday, February 15, 2018, at her home. There will be no services at this time. Arrangements are in the care of Frank and Bright Funeral Home in Flora. The family has requested no flowers or gifts, but memorial donations may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To share a condolence or memory, visit www.frankandbright.com. Matthew Ryan Frazier. Matthew Frazier, age 44, of Kansas City, Missouri, passed February 10, 2018. The full obituary is at www.mulebachchapel.com. Visitation will be 9:30 a.m. February 17, with an 11 a.m. Mass at St. Thomas More Church at 11822 Holmes Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Timothy Jude Polansiak. Timothy J. Polansiak of Park Forest, Illinois, was called home by the Lord on February 10, 2018. A visitation will be 10 a.m. Monday, February 19, at St. Irenaeus Parish in Park Forest, with a memorial mass to follow at 11 a.m. A visitation will be at St. Mary's Church in Westville, Illinois, at 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 20, with a memorial mass to follow at 11 a.m. Timothy will be laid to rest at Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and Shriners Hospital for Children. Mass offerings would also be appreciated. Arrangements entrusted to Lane Sullivan Funeral Home in Park Forest, and for information or to express your thoughts or memories in the online guest book, you may call 708-747-3700 or go to www.lanesullivan.com. Early Shaw. Early Dean Morris, Sister Shaw, age 77, of Danville, formerly of Forest City, Arkansas, died at 6 a.m. Saturday, February 10, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. A homegoing celebration will commence at noon on Friday, today, February 16, at New Life Church of Faith at 1419 North Bowman Avenue. Visitation was at 11 a.m. Friday today until the time of service. A public viewing was held from 1 to 5 p.m. on Thursday at Leek & Sons Funeral Home. Officiating is Pastor Michael J. Wright. Interment will be at Sandhill Memorial Park. Condolences may be sent to Leek & Sons Funeral Home. Here is a story headlined, SGRC to host Talent Showcase. It's Dateline Danville. For Soul Garden Recovery Center, children are the most vulnerable victims when it comes to a loved one's addiction. Sierra C.C. Bythe is a 13-year-old student at Northridge Middle School, and she serves on Soul Garden's teen board. She said she has been personally affected by a family member's addiction, and she now wants to help others facing similar problems. She said, "I saw there was a need among kids like me who are children of addicts. I wanted to step up and help them." To show support during Children of Addicts Awareness Week, Bythe and her mother came up with the idea to host a talent showcase called A Child's Voice Above Noise. "I thought it would be a really cool idea to show off kids' talents and make money to raise awareness off of that," Bythe said. The event will offer a chicken noodle dinner and will feature several youth performance groups in the county. All proceeds will go toward Soul Garden, which is raising funds for support group training, classes, and eventually a building to house all their activities, according to board member Deanne Ryan. Ryan said, "One of Soul Garden's goals is to increase the understanding that addiction is a physical disease and increase the empathy that people are addicted. It touches every family." One way that Soul Garden plans to reach the community is through help from local churches. Ryan said, "We're trying to mobilize the faith community. If every church stood up to help a child, it would make a difference." She recently mailed out letters to 80 Danville churches, telling them ways that they can help support children with family members struggling with addiction. Some of the performances at the showcase will feature church music groups. Other performances include skits from community theater groups. Soul Garden invites all youth under the age of 18 to share their talents. Bythe said, "Us kids are the next generation. We will be leading the country. If we do everything we can to help these kids grow up in a better community, we will all have a better future." This next story is headlined, "Schlarman Grant Reaps Greenhouse." It's Dateline Danville. A greenhouse will soon yield a crop of new educational opportunities at Schlarman Academy's North Campus. An 18 by 36 foot greenhouse from International Greenhouse Company of Danville has come to fruition thanks to the Schlarman Foundation Board's newly launched Teacher Grant Program. Initiated by Foundation Board President Nancy O'Kane, the foundation created the program last May, through which Schlarman teachers can apply for a grant to fund a special project that will enhance their students' educational experience. O'Kane said, "The intent is to use the funds that are so generously donated to the Schlarman Foundation in a constructive way that enhances our students. It is intended for certified staff members for programs or projects that would benefit students' learning and performance." It is widely known that many teachers spend hundreds of their own dollars on classroom supplies each year. Jean Mulvaney, Schlarman Foundation's new Director of Development, said that $4.6 million has been donated to the foundation since its formation in 1974. The foundation, in turn, has gifted Schlarman with student scholarships, operating expenses, special projects, and infrastructure improvements. The Teacher Grant Program is the foundation's newest initiative. Mulvaney said of the program, "We knew if the teachers wrote the grant, they would know what is best for the students and their classroom." The greenhouse is the result of the first teacher grant that was awarded in the summer to biology teacher Blake Leonard. Leonard, who is in his second year of teaching at the high school, said he hatched the idea for a greenhouse after noticing a big empty space on the northeast side of the school. He was considering purchasing a very small greenhouse from Amazon when someone suggested he contact the International Greenhouse Company in Danville. Thanks to Schlarman Foundation's Teacher Grant Program, Leonard ended up with a much larger greenhouse with running water and electricity. Leonard accompanied Foundation board members Wednesday on a tour of the new greenhouse and talked about how he plans to use it with his biology, environmental science, and algebra classes, as well as other classes at the high school, such as chemistry, business, and art. He said, "I don't want this to be the biology greenhouse. I want a lot of classes here." Students who already have taken the environmental science class will still have the opportunity to work in the greenhouse as members of Schlarman's new Green Thumb Club. Leonard said, "They will be helping with growing flowers and plants, and they will be collecting discarded scraps from the cafeteria for compost. The cafeteria already has collected a bunch of eggshells for us." He said the students already have come up with many ideas on how they envision using the greenhouse, including growing the flowers to custom-designed corsages for homecoming and prom, and creating floral arrangements for Mother's Day and other holidays to sell as fundraisers. "I would like us to be able to sell things to keep it sustainable, so we don't have to keep asking for funds to buy supplies," he said. Leonard added, "I can definitely see this being used year-round. We are also going to be growing food for the cafeteria, like lettuce." Leonard told the board members that he eventually would like to add a hydroponic feature in which live fish would help fertilize strawberry plants. Several wooden tables of varying lengths line the greenhouse, all handmade by Leonard, after purchasing the lumber with a $1,000 grant from Keep America Beautiful, of which Schlarman senior Reagan Gifford is a member of its National Youth Advisory Council. The grant also helped pay for electricity to be hooked up inside the greenhouse, Leonard said. The foundation paid for Frank J. Strahl and Sons of Danville, which donated one of the greenhouse sinks, to run the plumbing inside the greenhouse. Master gardener John Bodensteiner also has offered his expertise. The University of Illinois Extension Office will donate the starter seeds that Leonard said he plans to have his students plant in a week or two. Several more items, such as pairs of gardening gloves, gardening tools, a couple of hoses, hanging baskets, and lumber, are still needed, and Leonard is hopeful those might be donated. Mulvady, who toured the greenhouse on Wednesday, praised Leonard, saying he has grown something wonderful. Here are a couple of community briefs. The first ones are from Danville. Art class planned. The Danville Art League at 320 North Franklin Street will offer a watercolor class from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. Instructor Carol Garver will teach how to paint huge flowers using new tricks with watercolors. Participants should bring something to share for lunch. Drinks and a crockpot surprise will be provided. Cost is $25 for supplies. For information, call 217-442-9264 or check the website at www.danvilleartleague.com. The next brief is an announcement that tonight's show at the DLO Musical Theater production of Curtains, scheduled for tonight, has been canceled due to cast illness. Tickets still are available for Saturday's 7:30 p.m. show and Sunday's 2 p.m. show. Those with advanced tickets for Friday today are being contacted by the box office. A church event is planned for Saturday. Emmanuel Lutheran Church's Men's Club plans its annual Taste of Deutschland for 4 to 6:30 p.m. Saturday at the church at 1930 North Bowman Avenue. The event features live German music and brats from the grill, along with other German food. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for children under 12, and carryouts will be available. And Gau Grotto will serve food from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. today, including hamburgers, hand-breaded pollock, or chicken strips. All are welcome. And the last community brief is from Oakwood. It's headlined, Church Plans a Meal. Coach Max the Works Spaghetti Dinner will be 4 to 7 p.m. Sunday at Oakwood United Methodist Church, located at the corner of Collette and Oakwood Streets. A free will offering will be collected. Proceeds go to support the church's Appalachian Service Project youth mission trip. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with the Danville Commercial News of Friday, February 16th, 2018. I look forward to reading again with you soon.